Hey guys, welcome to the show. This is Tony, Successless Tony D, and welcome to our blab this morning here with Dr. Crystal Green Brown. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Again, I appreciate you for being on the show. And for those of you that don't know, Dr. Chris is an author of the best-selling book on Amazon, How to Create a Spiritual Vision Board. That is visual prayer. So, Dr. Chris, for those who may not be familiar with you, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I guess as far back as I can think, I've always been raised in a church. I'm a devoted Christian. And when I first was introduced to the concept of the secret or the law of attraction, I knew that there was something missing, even though it had, you know, all of the basic principles that, you know, I've heard about in the past being a Christian. But I would say through my journey, I realized that it was part of my duty or part of my calling to make sure that people knew that the law of attraction also had something to do with the biblical principles, the Bible. So when I think about who I am and what I represent to people, my goal or my purpose in life is to help people through Dr. Chris, the Dreamlike Doctor, which is my consultation firm, but helping them in a spiritual way. So I'm a spiritual life coach. I'm also a health and nutritionist. I'm certified in health and nutrition. I help people with weight loss. My mission in life is to help people through spiritual principles and aligning themselves with God's purpose for their life.
Okay, so your book is creating a spiritual vision board.
That's correct. Yes.
So now I've heard of vision boards and, you know, I know a lot about those. But tell us about a spiritual vision board. Now, I'm going to go back for just a minute about the law of attraction with its popularity. And I think it has something to do with The Secret.
Yes.
to be honest with you, as a Christian, I was somewhat reluctant at one time to even deal with The Secret or the law of attraction, because a lot of people tend to, you know, they were always talking about the universe this and universe that. And for me, I always, you know, looked at, you know, God is the universe. So I was kind of reluctant. But once I took the time to read it and understand it, I gained a better appreciation for it. So that being said, what is a spiritual vision board and how does it apply to the law of attraction?
A spiritual vision board understands that the law of attraction is biblical principles. So the primary difference is that we are acknowledging that God's biblical principles exist and we are using that information to apply it to our vision board. So a lot of people that talk about the universe or source, they're not saying or they're not acknowledging God. And I'm not going to say that their vision boards might not work, because God isn't a liar and he will bless you and grant you with the desires of your heart as long as you follow through and do the things that you're supposed to do and understand that acts, believe, and receive is Matthew 21, 22. So if you're saying it, there's some knowledge, there's some spiritual knowledge there, whether you accept it as biblical principles or not. So that major difference is when I teach my workshops, my classes, my seminars, I make it crystal clear that acts, believe, and receive came from Matthew. If you don't ask, you're not going to get blessed. So James tells us, ask not, and you will receive not. So there are a lot of biblical principles that are shared in the book. For example, the major one is Habakkuk 2:2. Write down your vision, make it plain. So if you acknowledge it, if you're saying that those biblical principles are, you know, in fact what they are, and you're aligning yourself spiritually with God, then he's more likely to bless you. He's more likely to honor your desires because you're giving him credit. And that's all he's asking for. you know, he's asking for the credit. Our God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
He is. He's a jealous
Bible
God.
Says, yeah.
The Bible tells us that. So I do think it's really important for Christians to acknowledge that with the law of attraction, with the secret, is based on the Bible.
Okay. So that being said, how can someone use the law of attraction in conjunction with the Bible to acquire those things they desire? Because again, I know that God's promises are conditional. We have to meet the condition. So that being said, when it comes to the law of attraction, you know, a lot of people may read it and a lot of people may study it, but if you don't apply it, then don't expect to receive. So again, how can we combine these two and to receive those desires?
The most important aspect is the acknowledgement part, the understanding that all of the terms that the secret uses or the law of attraction uses is biblical principles. So that's the first part. I would say the most challenging part, in my book, there's a four-step process. The third step is to receive, or the receipt of your blessing. So we have to do our part. We have to go through steps one and two. But then once we do that, that third aspect is to physically take possession of what God has blessed us with. And a lot of people, they kind of neglect to accept that gift. And that's all that it is. It is a gift from God. So if you don't physically take possession of it, you're going to miss out on your blessings.
So in your book, the spiritual vision boards, how do you apply those spiritual vision boards? What exactly do you do?
Oh, okay, so again, it's a four-step process. Ask, believe, receive, and revive. So the first step is asking. Verbally, you are asking. You're writing down your vision. You're making it plain and clear, and you're requesting specific desires. So, for example, in the beginning of the book, the introduction, I tell about a car. I still have this car. It's a teal Celica, 1996, with almost 200,000 miles at this point. But I asked God for that particular car because I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew the color, I knew the make, I knew the model, I knew all the little special features that I wanted on it, a sunroof, a spoiler. So I was very clear in my intentions, exactly what I wanted. And it took close to a year, but God did bless me with it. So when you're asking, you have to be as clear and precise as possible. We have to remember that God is a gentleman and he will not force anything on us, even if he knows that it's, you know, for our best. But when we specifically ask for exactly what it is that we want, we've made it clear to him and he's more likely to be able to allow, okay, the universe to work to manifest our blessings, our gifts. So that's the first step. That's asking. With believing, we have to have faith. So the Bible just makes it clear. I don't know how many scriptures, several scriptures on your faith. It can be as small as a mustard seed, but the more that we establish a personal and intimate relationship with God, the more that our faith increases and our relationship with him increases. So we're asking, we're believing, we're having faith. We're making our intentions clear and plain. We create images based on those items that we want and place those items on the vision board. We also create affirmations and mantras. The affirmations are also biblical. So when you think about I am, the very first time that God used that term, I am, or the most significant time, is when he was telling Moses, this is what you should tell Pharaoh. Who sent you? I am that I am. So we are a reflection of God. When we use that term, I am, it's saying we can do anything and everything based on his divine spirit living and being present in our lives. So I am healthy. I am healthy, wealthy, and blessed. And I can't really tell if you can see very much of my vision board, spiritual vision board that's over my head, but that's one of my favorite affirmations. I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am blessed. And then the last part with the verbal communication part is the mantras. Mantras are positive statements that you create to literally change the current state of your existence. And what I mean by that is, say, for example, you might have a problem with fear or stage fright. So you can create a mantra that counteracts your emotions. And we have control of our emotions. So your mantra might be, I am fearless. I am bold. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you're just creating a positive statement that counteracts your, again, emotions. And then the last step is revise. So I'm actually glad that you can't see my vision board because I need to go into the revision process. Recently, I've had a name change. So I'm now not only Dr. Crystal Green, but I'm also Dr. Crystal Green Brown. So last month, I married the love of my life, Randy Brown. And at the top of my vision board is pictures of Randy and I and God in a triangle. Randy and I are at the bottom. God is at the top. And that idea is as we work closer together, concreting our relationship, we're also growing closer to God. So the revision aspect is removing those images, removing the affirmations, removing the mantra statements based on your receipt. You've already had those things. You've already been blessed with them. So what's new? What else does God have on your plate?
So why do you think, you know, these affirmations or mantras, as you call them, and the vision boards work for some people and don't work for others?
They can probably miss one of the three steps, the first three steps. So perhaps they did not act clearly and plainly. They did not be specific in the exact desires of their heart. So if they're not clear, and I do have an example of this. So I'm really, really thankful of my Celica. But I know that the next car that I am going to be blessed with is a Lexus. And I have to admit, I've been challenged. I haven't been able to determine the exact model of Lexus. I know I want a Lexus. Because when you think about a Toyota, it's the next best thing. So I really have to be clear as to what type of Lexus I want and what color. And when I was blessed with the Celica, I received everything that I asked for. I could not have been more pleased. So perhaps that might be something that's missing. They weren't specific. Or could it be step number two, believing they don't have faith, or they're saying those things over and over and repeating them, and they're not aligning with God's purpose. Or even better, perhaps they have a little bit of doubt and they'll speak that doubt. Oh, this doesn't work. Well, if you're saying it doesn't work, God's going to give you exactly what you've asked for. It's not going to work. So it could be a number of things. If you don't follow through on each one of the steps and do everything that you're supposed to do within that step process, building process, then yeah, you won't be blessed.
So how does the spirit of a person interact with this? How does that the spirit make this, I guess I can say, work better? Or
our spirit is one of the Trinity, one of the Holy Trinity. So we have God, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our direct access to God. It is a vehicle that we can use, as I like to call it, the internal GPS. So when we think about how that Holy Spirit can guide us, can lead us, when I think about intuition, how it's warning us if there is something that we're about to approach or enter that might be harmful or dangerous for us. The Holy Spirit is our lifeline to God. And we can use it to the best of our ability, or we can choose not to. My choice is, as I'm growing more intimately closer with God, developing that strong relationship with Him, I'm also developing the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives inside of me. When I pray, I ask for God's will, but I'm praying to Jesus. So all three of the Trinity works in unison to help us become closer to God, to really fulfill the desires of our heart, and to understand what God's purpose and His will is for our life. So you can't leave out any one of the three. All of them is important when we call ourselves a Christian, when we believe that we are truly a Christian, and when we have to take action and do our part in order to really solidify that relationship, that intimacy with God.
Well, this may be a stretch, and I'm going to kind of deviate a little bit. Why do you think it's some Christians seem to think it's better to have a poverty? I mean, they think it's better to be poor. You know what I mean? You know, I've seen some who, you know, it's almost sacrilege to talk about wealth and prosperity for some Christians, and they feel like it's better. You're closer to God if you're poor.
Yeah, that's called a poverty mentality. I would love to share a story, but I don't want to share too much because I don't want this particular group to be offended. But I was involved with an organization that everything that we did it for God, and we did it to help and enrich His kingdom. Well, some of the group members felt as though we should donate all of the proceeds to our home church. And let me just say, that is not the church that I'm currently attending. So I don't want anyone to feel, my current home church where I go with my husband. It was another church. And one of the things that really made me angry is when I looked around the room to each one of those members, all of us, and this was about 2 years ago, all of us was in a financial bind. We needed the proceeds.
Yeah.
So on the way home, instead of fussing and screaming in the meeting, because we know that's not Christian-like, the way home, I just prayed about it. And God instantly gave me the term poverty mentality. And basically what that is He is allowing us to be blessed using our gifts. I mean, He gave us our gifts for a reason. He gave us our gifts so that we can survive. He is only asking for 10%, not everything, 10%. Yeah. And let me just stress that 10% is a minimum. It is the baseline of what you can give. So we also know that the more that you give, the more that you reap, the more that you'll sow. So the more that you'll put into God's kingdom, the more He'll bless you. But you don't put everything. You don't put 100%. Yeah, you don't do that. So the only thing that I can do for those people is pray for them and help them to understand that, yes, you want to give back to the kingdom. God's not asking for everything. He wants us to be able to survive. He wants us to be able to pay our bills. He wants us to be happy and joyous. He wants us to be wealthy. And wealthy just doesn't mean money. It means our health. It means our spirit. It means our relationship. So that poverty mentality does exist. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And the only thing that I think can help those people who feel that way is prayer. They have to realize that God loves us. We're His children. He only wants the very, very best for us.
Yeah. So that being said, how can someone, you know, find your book, and what should they expect once they, you know, get your book and also contact you?
Well, my book is on Amazon. It is in both the paperback form and the digital version. As far as contacting me, all of my social media is Ask Dr. Chris. So my website is askdrchris.com, askdrchris.com. On Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, the same. Ask Dr. Oh, and Pinterest. Ask Dr. Chris, askdrchris.
So what would be your final words for any viewers who may watch this later or some that may be watching now?
I guess the most important takeaway is that God loves us. You know, we are his children. God loves us. And because think about if you are a parent, how much you love your child, your children, and how much you want to bless them and how much you want their life to be easier. God wants the same things for us. So if we acknowledge him, if we follow the basic foundational principles that are laid out in the Bible, some of which are included in my book, Visual Prayer, then he will bless you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Every vision board, every spiritual vision board that I have created, I have received every thing that is on it. Why? Because I aligned my will with God's purpose for my life. And I could not be any happier. I could not be any more fulfilled, joyful. I am so thankful for my relationship with God.
Well, I do think of one more question. Do you have an example, say a picture of a visual spiritual vision board? In your book or?
Yes, actually the very last chapter, there are several examples. There were a few vision board coaches, spiritual vision board coaches that worked with me. So their vision boards are also in the book. Their clients' vision boards are in the book as well. I have a physical version, the one that's right above me, that is in the book, in addition to a technology version. And I use that creating, I use PowerPoint in order to create that. So there are several different examples in there. And in addition to, I'm planning on having a seminar this summer so that I can be able to help more people to create their vision board. So you can look forward, probably either on Facebook or through my website advertising for my summer seminar on visual prayer.
Okay. So one more time, where are you on Facebook?
Ask Dr. Chris. So again, it's ASKDRCRIS.
Okay, guys, this is Tony C. Davis. I want to thank you for tuning in. And again, this is Dr. Crystal Green Brown. Look for her book, Visual Prayer, How to Create a Spiritual Vision Board on Amazon. Look her up also on Facebook at Ask Dr. Chris. Dr. Chris, I really do appreciate you, and thanks, and I pray God's blessings on you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Be blessed.
Bye-bye.